Did you hear about the three sons who left home, went out on their own, and prospered? Getting back together, they discussed the gifts that they were able to give their elderly mother. The first said, "I built a big house for our mother." The second said, "I sent her a Mercedes with a driver." The third smiled and said, "I've got you both beat. You remember how Mom enjoyed reading the Bible? And you know how she can't see very well? I sent her a remarkable parrot, and he recites the entire Bible. It took the elders of the church 12 years to teach him. He's one of a kind. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot recites it." Well, soon after, Mom sent out her thank you letters. "Milton," she wrote, "the house you built is so large. I live in only one room, but have to clean this whole house. And Gerald," she said, "I'm too old to travel. I stay at home most of the time, so I rarely use the Mercedes, and the driver's rude." "Dearest Donald," she wrote to her third son, "you have the good sense to know what a mother likes. That chicken was delicious." Well, today is obviously the day that we recognize and give honor to mothers. Now, I recognize that Mother's Day can bring about all sorts of emotions. It brings about hurt and sadness to some, and yet joy to others. I know we all have different relationships with our mothers. Not everyone has the same fondness for their mom, because that relationship was shaped by their experiences. And we all have different experiences, right? So I have to tell you right up front so you understand my perspective. In my eyes, my mom was a giant. She was such a tremendous example for looking past your circumstances and seeing the good in every situation. She was the kind of person that she would look into a flower bed that hadn't been weeded for 10 years, and she would see the one flower that you could hardly see, and she would go on about the beauty of that flower that everyone else overlooked. She passed away a few years back, and I think as time goes on, I learned to appreciate her life more and more. Now, I'm not saying she was perfect, just a tremendous example to me and my brother and sisters. Her life still teaches me to this day. Her legacy is going to be passed down to her grandchildren because it's still alive in all of us. So this morning, I want to talk to all of you mothers that are here. And I know that being a mother can be frustrating and confusing, and it's difficult to be a mother. So often, as loving mothers, I know you feel overwhelmed in your everyday activities. Sometimes you feel like you can't go another day. And you think you have to be the worst mother that ever existed. Well, I want you to know this morning that you're not alone. Sometimes the things that you go through in life make you feel unappreciated and alone. Sometimes you stop and wonder if the monotony of your life really has value. And you find yourself wondering if what you do on a regular basis really makes a difference to anyone. Does anyone really care? I know that often a lot of you feel like a maid to your family. You're constantly cleaning up after everyone. And your idea of a good day is when a diaper doesn't leak on you. Or you keep a hold of your cell phone for the entire day without losing it. Maybe it's a day when the kids go the entire day without hitting one another and fighting. Many times you've searched the house for your sunglasses, and someone suggests that maybe you just wear the pair that's perched on your head. Some days you feel like a disaster, and you wonder if you have the patience to keep your children out of prison, let alone teach them to be productive citizens. Well, this morning I have to share with you just a couple of the many things that I learned from the example of my mom as a result of her actions. And I believe they're scriptural on top of everything. But first I want to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And here's what it says. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Never underestimate the power that is in the love of a mother. Love really is a thing of power and beauty. You know, her love is more powerful than any fear she might have. Her love is more powerful than any shame that might exist in her life. And her love is more powerful than any hardship or self-sacrifice combined that she might face. Second thing I wanted to talk about is this. You don't need a name to be a great mom. I have to ask you, moms, how old was your child before they first recognized that your name really wasn't Mom? Your child doesn't care about the formalities of life. They don't care about where you came from or what your childhood was like. They don't care about your social status or your level of education. They only care about the protection and the security that comes as a result of your love. They care about the hug that you give at just the right time. They care about how you love them enough to peel the skin off the apple. They care about the support that you give that helps them through this difficult world, one that's hard for them to understand. The support that comes as a result of your love. Being a mother is difficult, but I want you to know when it feels like you're two steps behind, genuine love trumps all. Genuine love trumps all. And this morning I want to look at some scripture. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to start in verse 22. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And here's what it says. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So here we see this woman, and the deck was severely stacked against her, and she pushed forward anyway. We see this poor, nameless, Gentile woman approach Christ with a need. She said, My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But Jesus didn't respond to her. You see, she approached him as Son of David. And she put herself on Jewish ground. And as a Gentile, she couldn't do that. So because she came to him with a Jewish term, he didn't respond at all, but she wouldn't give up. The love that she had for her child empowered her to keep pressing forward. She pressed it to the point that the disciples said, "Jesus, do something with this woman. She is relentless." But then she came to him on different terms. She said, "Lord, help me." She said, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now you have to realize that Jesus wasn't calling her a dog. He wasn't approaching her from the same perspective that the Pharisees would have. The Greek here insinuates a pet, a little pet dog. It wasn't talking about the stray that runs the streets and tears out your garbage. And he wasn't calling her a dog. Verse 27 says, "And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her and said, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." She said, "Jesus, I'm not asking for much, just this one little thing. That's all I'm asking for. Help me. I know I'm not part of the chosen people of God, but I need your help." You know, and all I can picture here is all of the mothers that have interceded for their children. The ones that are relentless and never give up. They lean on God in prayer to guide and protect their children. I know what it's like to have a woman in my life who is relentless. I have a wife that has a heart as big as an elephant. And she has taught me so much about what compassion means. And she's relentless. I thank God for her every day. And I look at her as a superhero. She's similar to the Hulk. She's always pushing Austin to be the best that he can be. And she does it out of love. I know she's a superhero, though, because I've watched her as people have a negative influence on him, and she turns into this terrible monster. She turns red instead of green, but all jokes aside, I guess my wife really is a superhero in my eyes, and I have no idea what her superhero name would be. I just know I couldn't do all the stuff that she does. As I was preparing for today, I realized that there are a lot of similarities between my wife and my mom. Now, my mom didn't have the same temper that my wife does. But that keeps life interesting. And to be honest, I'm not afraid of her anyway, so it doesn't matter. But my mom, she was a very laid-back person. And I guess maybe that's where I get my personality from. I have that same sort of laid-back personality, and I suppose I inherited that from her. But I was thinking back on my childhood and about, you know, I grew up in a very poor family. And I was thinking about how relentless my mom could be when it involved her children. I know lots of things have changed in society over time. But I remember my childhood, and I remember the constant struggle to keep food on the table for our family. And I can remember how my mom learned to grow a garden to help take care of this problem. She learned to can food so that we could have food throughout the entire year. And I mean, she made everything from ketchup to apple butter, you name it. She tried her hand at it. I remember the first time that she made pickled green beans. I know those are everywhere now, but at the time it was something that you never heard of. And to this day, I still love pickled green beans. I still make them myself. But I remember how how my brother and I would go out to the garden with nothing but a salt shaker, and we would pick tomatoes and sit out there and eat tomatoes by ourselves, and just a lot of fond memories that result from some of the things that my mom did. But the thing about it is she didn't have a love for gardening. I don't even know if she liked to garden. But she had a love for her children that was relentless. And she was willing to do whatever she needed to take care of us. And this attitude carried throughout every aspect of her life. She had a selfless love where her needs always came last. She displayed the same love for her children that Christ did for all of us. This morning, to all of you mothers who carry on that legacy of relentless, selfless love, I say this: thank you. Thank you. And I say thank you because the children in our lives need to understand the love of Christ. And I truly believe that this is the first place that they encounter it, is through a loving mother. There are going to be times in the life of every child when they don't feel worthy, when they don't feel loved, and they don't feel needed. And they need to know that God will never leave nor forsake. God didn't make any mistakes, and He didn't make any junk. Max Lucado, I'm sure you're familiar with him, but he explained the love of a mother this way. He said, "Moms, why do you love your newborn child? I know, it seems like a silly question, but indulge me. Why do you? For months, this baby has brought you pain. They've made you break out in pimples and waddle like a duck. Because of them, you crave sardines and crackers and threw up every morning. They punched you in the tummy. They occupied a space that wasn't theirs, and they ate food that they didn't fix. You kept them warm, you kept them safe, and you kept them fed. But did they say thank you? Are you kidding? She's no more out of the womb than she starts to cry. The room is too cold, the blanket's too rough, and the nurse is too mean. And who does she want? Mom. Don't you ever get a break? I mean, who has been doing all the work for the last 9 months? Why can't Dad take over? But no, Dad won't do. The baby wants Mom. She didn't even tell you she was coming. She just came. And what a coming. She rendered you a barbarian. You screamed, you swore, you bit bullets and tore the sheets. And now look, your back aches, your head pounds, your body is drenched in sweat. Every muscle strained and stretched. You should be angry, but are you? Far from it. On your face is a longer than forever love. They've done nothing for you, yet you love them. Their face is wrinkled, their eyes are dim, yet all you can talk about are her good looks and bright future. She's going to wake you up every night for the next 6 weeks, but it doesn't matter. I can see it on your face. You're crazy about her. Why? Why does a mother love a newborn? Because the baby is hers. Even more, because the baby is her. Her blood, her flesh, her sinew and spine, her hope, and her legacy. It bothers you not that the baby gives nothing. You know that a newborn is helpless and weak. You know babies don't ask to come into this world. And God knows that we didn't either. We are His idea. We are His. His face, His eyes, His hands, His touch. We are Him. Will you all stand with me this morning? As you do, I just ask that for a minute you just bow your head and close your eyes and just listen. I don't know about all of you, but as I look back on my life, I realize that my mom truly displayed the love of Christ. And sometimes I encounter people that can't seem to understand the love that Christ has for us. And it's made me realize that my understanding of how Christ could love us unconditionally had to have been from the sacrificial love that my mom displayed. She lived a life of love for her children and grandchildren. And I'm going to be honest with you, I miss my mom. And I know that because the love that Christ showed for all of us, I'm going to get to see her again. And I look forward to that day. 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us." Today I hope that you really understand that the love a mother has for her child is only a small taste of the love that God has for us. When He looks at us, He sees His creation. But there's that one thing that messes up what He desires for our life, and it's called sin. And sin separates us from that completeness of God's love. Maybe today you're one of those people that don't understand the love of Christ. You don't understand the love that He has poured out because you didn't have the same example that I did and a mother. Well, I want you to know this. Jesus loves you so much that He was willing to die for you. The Bible says that every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have violated God's law. And that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus died to pay that penalty for your sins and mine. 3 days later, He rose from the grave, conquering death. And the Bible says that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. And I can assure you that you can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. I'm going to pray. And when I do, this altar is going to be open to you. And I want you to know that this is the time for you to pray. And I know it can be a private time between you and God. I'm not going to bother you. But if you don't know Christ this morning, come talk to me and I'll pray with you. Father, we come before You humble. We recognize that You are our Creator and there's no one more capable than You. We thank You for giving us such a wonderful example in mothers. They truly serve as our first example of the love that You have shown us in Christ. Father, we also recognize that some people have not experienced the sacrificial love of a mother. And we know that this is a result of the sin that reigns on this earth. We also know that it doesn't have to keep us from experiencing Your love. We can experience Your love right now, today. We ask, Lord, that if there is anyone here that doesn't know You, that You would wrap Your arms around them. And let them feel Your love. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you.